work with the finished chapter. 8, 9, 10. Bhagavad Gita, as you all know, has 3 different sections. All 18 chapters of Bhagavad Gita are dealing with 3 different sections, namely Karma Kanda, Jnana Kanda, and pure devotional service or devotional service. The Karma Kanda has been described in the first 6 chapters. The Jnana Kanda has been described in the last 6 chapters. And in the middle 6 chapters, devotional service has been described. Often people say that since Jnana Kanda is the last, Jnana Kanda is dealt with in the last 6 chapters, therefore Jnana Kanda is the most important. Like first is Karma Kanda, and then devotional service, and then Jnana. So Jnana Kanda is most important. But actually, the most important thing is kept in the middle. Just like when we have something very valuable, well, where do you keep it? Do you keep it near the door? Front door or back door? No. When you have something very precious, you keep it in the middle of the house. Secure it very much. Similarly, with Bhagavad Gita, the middle 6 chapters are dealing with the most important part of Bhagavad Gita, that is devotional service. And in the middle, we can see that in the middle of Bhagavad Gita, starting from 7 till 7 to 12 chapters are dealing with devotional service. And in these 12 chapters, the middle is 9th and 10th chapter. So, and in the 10th chapter, in the middle of the 10th chapter, the essence of the Bhagavad Gita is so, what are those verses? We'll discuss them now. So, the verse 8 is Aham Sarvasya Prabhu Matta Sarvam Pravasati Iti Matra Bhajante Naam Bhuta Bhava Samaya. Aham means I, Sarvasya means of all, Prabhava means the source of generation, Matta means from me, Sarvam, everything, Pravartate, emanate, Iti, Das, Matva, knowing, Bhajante, becomes devoted, Mam, unto me, Buddha, the learned, Bhava, Samamita, with their attention. I am the source of all spiritual and material worlds. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this engage in my devotional service and worship me with all their heart. So, in the Srimad Bhagavatam, the four Chatushloki, the four verses, that was given to Brahma by the Supreme Personality of Godhead, that actually contains the essence of Srimad Bhagavatam. So what is the first verse? How many of you remember the first verse of the second chapter? Not the one?
How much do you remember that one? Yes. Avan. Avan. That Eva did. There's one word on it. Avan.
Aham Eva Shan. Eva. Now we can see some similarity between this verse and that verse. What is the first verse of the second verse? Aham evasham evagrota. Right? Aham evasham evagrota nanna jatka tatsatva. That in the beginning I was, even before the creation I was. When there was no causal or effectual manifestation of this creation, sat asat param, then I existed. And in everything I am also existed. And after annihilation, I will still continue to exist. So in this way, Krishna is actually establishing his identity. That is, he is transcendental to the material nature. And he is the origin of this material. Now here also, we can find the same kind of same statement, similar statement. What is saying? Aham sarvasya tovaya, matta sarvam sarvasya tovaya. Iti matva bhajante man dhita sarvasya. Aham sarvasya prabhava. I am the source of all spiritual and material world. Everything emanates from me. The wise who perfectly know this, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all that. So the first verse is describing that Krishna is the source of everything and he is the shelter of everything. And when someone knows that, then he is the real one. Aham sarvasya prabhava, matta sarvam prabhavati, iti matva bhajanti mam, dhita bhajanti. Then what's the next verse? Verse 9. Machitta madgata jnana, bodhayanta paras param, kathayantasya, kathayantasya mamantam, kishtantita, ramantita. That is, the thoughts of my pure devotees dwell in me, their lives are fully devoted to my service, and they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. So this is Krishna's verdict about a devotee. What is the characteristic of a devotee? The devotee's thoughts always dwell in Krishna. Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita, man mana bhava man bhakti. How does one become a devotee? Just by thinking about Krishna always. So here he is saying that the thoughts of his devotees always dwell in Krishna. Matchitta, madgata prana, their lives are fully devoted to my service. And they derive great satisfaction and bliss from always enlightening one another and conversing about me. Kathayantasya maam nityam, they always speak about me. And Tushan teacher, Ram. So that's how they derive their satisfaction and joy. So this is the characteristics of the devotee. Then the first thing is saying, Teshav Shapati Jistanam Bhajatam Kutipurvatam Dadami Buddhi Yogam Tam Jena Maam. To those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, I give the understanding by which they can come to me. So those who are constantly devoted to serving me with love, those who are constantly engaged in rendering devotional service unto Krishna, Krishna gives them the intelligence or understanding by which a devotee can go. Teshaṁ satate jittānāṁ bhajataṁ priti-purvatam. Bhajataṁ means priti-purvatam means with love. Then dadāmi buddhi-yogaṁ tam. Krishna is saying that he gives him the buddhi-yogaṁ, or he gives him real intelligence by which they can understand him and go back. Then the verse 11 is Esham evanu pampartham aham avjana jantam nashayam vasmo bhavastho jana jitena bhashyata. To show them special mercy, I, dwelling in their heart, destroy with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. So when a person becomes a devotee of Krishna and becomes engaged in rendering loving devotional service unto Krishna, Krishna becomes very merciful unto them. Krishna becomes specially merciful unto them. And how does Krishna's special mercy become manifest? Krishna's special mercy becomes manifest in the form of enlightening them from within their life. By the light of knowledge, Krishna destroys with the shining lamp of knowledge the darkness born of ignorance. Although we are born in ignorance, we are covered by ignorance, we are submerged in ignorance, but when we become engaged in rendering loving devotional service to Krishna constantly, then Krishna dispels that ignorance with the light of transcendence. Just as with the appearance of light, darkness disappears immediately. Similarly, by Krishna's mercy, this darkness of ignorance is destroyed with the light of transcendence. And where does the light come from? Well, how does one get that light from? He gets it out of Krishna's mercy. Very mercifully, or bestowing or showing his special mercy, Krishna actually lights up the heart of the devotee. Now, and what is the qualification to receive that special mercy of Krishna? What is the qualification of the constant engagement in loving devotional service? So these four verses are the essential verses of Bhagavad Gita. How many of you know these four verses? Three, but now you are tracking. Learn this process. Very important. And once we know the essence, then everything will become clear. The entire Bhagavad Gita will become, all the purpose of Bhagavad Gita will become clearly manifest in our heart. If we know the essence of Bhagavad Gita. So from these four verses, what becomes clear now? What do you learn? What did you learn from the four verses?
Yeah. Everything emanates from Krishna. Everything emanates from Krishna.
Very good.
Also, the source of material and spiritual world.
Good. And one who knows him, in that way.
One who knows him in that way,
he is considered to be
the most important.
The person who knows that, he is a Buddha Bhava Samanika. The one who perfectly knows it, engage in my devotional service and worship me with all the heart. So when a person knows that Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he is the source of everything material and spiritual. Then he becomes a devotee. Then he becomes engaged in devotional service and worships Krishna with all their heart. So in order to become a devotee, first of all you have to understand that Krishna is God. Without knowing Krishna as God, we cannot become a devotee. No one can become a devotee. Or we can say, unless and until we have that understanding clear in our heart that Krishna is God, we cannot become a devotee. Devotee means one who is fully dependent. Now, if someone is not dependent upon Krishna, if someone is still depending upon himself, then he cannot become a devotee. A person who depends upon his own strength, his own ability, he is not God. He cannot become God. So in order to become a devotee, we have to completely depend upon Krishna. And one can depend upon Krishna completely only when one recognizes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. When one understands that he is completely incapable of doing anything. But unfortunately, ahankara vimhudatma kartahankara. Being bewildered by his false ego, living entities think that they are the doer. So as long as we feel that we are the doers, we won't be able to become devotees. In order to become devotees, we have to become totally surrender. Why does one think that he is the doer? Because of his false ego. Ahankara vimhura. So when one becomes free from his false ego, now how does one become free from his false ego? How does one become free from his false ego? Krishna thinking. Yes, but? Yes. One becomes free from false ego by becoming a servant. Because originally a living entity is. What is the constitutional position of a living entity? He is a servant of Krishna. And false ego means? False ego means, what is the meaning of false ego? He is being the controller. Instead of becoming a servant, he wants to become the master. He wants to become the master of the material. So that is the false ego. When you want to become the master, then that's false ego. Now, in order to get rid of that false ego, what do we have to do? We have to become a servant of Krishna and his Buddha. So in this way, when one becomes free from his false ego, then he realizes that Krishna is the Lord and he is the servant. Krishna is the Supreme Controller, Krishna is the Supreme Personality. So then he surrenders himself completely. And that is the meaning of devotion, the meaning of becoming Buddha.
Therefore, it's very important, or the most important thing to become a devotee is to recognize Krishna as the Supreme Personality. Without that recognition, we can never become a devotee. And then when one becomes a devotee, then what does he do? That has been explained in the next book. First we realize Krishna as God. He is the controller of everything. He is the source of everything. And knowing this, a person becomes engaged in devotional service. So when one becomes engaged in devotional service, then what does he do? When one becomes a devotee, what's the symptom of a devotee? The symptom of a devotee is that he always thinks about Krishna. Mastitta Madhvatatta. And his life is completely absorbed in Krishna. Their lives are fully devoted to serving Krishna. Madhvatatta. And these people, Bodhayanta Parashparam, they derive great satisfaction and bliss for always enlightening one another and conversing about Krishna. So that is the sign of the disciple. So that's the second verse. So what does first verse describe? Hare Pandu? Very good. The first verse describes Krishna as the Supreme Personality of God. And those who know Krishna in that way, they become his devotees. Then the second verse is describing what are the symptoms of a devotee. The symptoms of a devotee is he is always absorbed in Krishna. His life is fully engaged in rendering devotional service on Krishna. And these people, they understand Krishna and they enlighten each other. When they meet, they speak about Krishna to each other and like to enlighten each other. And this is how they derive their satisfaction and joy. Unlike materialistic people, how do materialistic people want to derive their joy? They try to derive their joy by indulging in different types of materialistic activities, the sense gratifying. But a devotee of Krishna, he does not go, he does not run after sense gratification in order to derive enjoyment. He derives enjoyment by rendering service unto Krishna and discussing about Krishna with other people. Then the next verse is Teshan Shatata Yuktanam Bhajatam Hitipurvakam. So when one becomes devoted like that, when a person becomes constantly engaged in serving Krishna, then what happens to him? What does Krishna do to him? Yeah. A person who is engaged in rendering love and devotion service unto Krishna, Krishna gives him the intelligence of Bhakti Yoga by which he can go back. And then Krishna is saying in the fourth verse, Tesham Evanu Kampatsa, in order to show my mercy and compassion upon them, Aham Avjana Jantama, I remove the ignorance that is caused by forgetfulness of Krishna. Ajnana jantama. The darkness that is produced by ignorance. Tamo means dark. Of Gyanajan, produced out of ignorance. So this darkness is removed by Gyanadipena, by the lamp of transcendental Bhashyata, by the effulgence of the rays of the transcendental Bhashyata. So this is how Krishna actually reciprocates with his devotee. When a devotee renders devotional service unto Krishna, then Krishna, from within his heart, enlightens him through the transcendental knowledge, and thus he removes the ignorance caused by moda, or darkness caused by moda, or jnana-jnana. So these are the four most or very important verses of Bhagavad Gita. These are the essence of Bhagavad Gita. And if we understand these four verses, then what happens to us? We end up becoming devotees. This is the ultimate goal. Anybody have any questions? So please try to memorize these verses and try to understand this verse.
The question is not related to verses, but in regard to the various religions of the world, they have been, I'm assuming, sanctioned by God, by Krishna. Now the people that are following the rules and regulations of their religion, very devotedly and so on, but according to our standards, it's not at the same level. What is their end?
The end result is, if they are serious, then they will become devotees of Krishna. The thing is that a person who is seriously searching after God, will he be satisfied with some half-baked information? Incomplete information. So he will keep searching, and then finally when he'll come to the point where he will have the understanding that is a good speaking mind, then automatically he will end up with that. So that in plain and simple words, you know, sincere souls from all different religious backgrounds will ultimately end up with. And those who don't join, they are actually not sincere. They are hypocrites. That means, verbally they say that they love God, they believe in God, and so on and so forth. But actually, they are not sincere.
I think about the followers of Islam and their dedication to their belief. If you look at the world press and find that everywhere in the world they are involved in some of the suffering among human and what animals, even in thousands of people. I just can't reconcile the fact that on the one hand they are sanctified as servants of God, and on the other hand they are
Islam is actually the dharma of Kali Yuga. The less intelligent, fanatical people, this
religion of karma. Actually, it's a religion of the master. In a so-called, I mean, not a religion. Don't question about God. You know, to even question about God is a blasphemy. So how can that be considered a blasphemy? Now whenever it comes to, you know, any information about God, they say, don't question. And then ultimately their thing is, their point is, that God doesn't have any form. You can't imagine God having any form. He doesn't have any attributes. If anyone does that, if anyone tries to depict God with any form, then he is a what's the word, the expression? Infidel. It's not a religion. You can see what is the real religion of this age. The real religion of this age is Sankirtan. Now you put Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's Sankirtan and you put Islam side by side to compare. I mean, diametrically opposed. And the worst thing is about, I don't know how Islamism was when Muhammad started it, but at least the way it is today is very, very deviant. I mean, it's not at all spiritual. It's totally deviant. And when Islam went to India, they made it a point to make it, you know, absolutely opposite to Vedic culture. In the Vedic culture, cows are worshipped. Their business became slaughtering cows. In Vedic culture, brahmanas were protected. Their business was killing the brahmanas. See, the go-brahmana Hitayacha, just the opposite of that is the motto of Islam. Kill the cows and kill the brahmanas. And their, all their practices were actually just the opposite to the Vedas. In Vedic culture, the Muslims, the Kshatriyas used to keep mustache and shave beard. Right? And the Muslims keep beard and shave mustache. In Vedic culture, one keeps sikha. The Muslims at the back and the Muslims keep a tuft of hair in the front. They shave their whole head and keep a tuft in the front. So their whole process is just completely opposite to Vedic culture. So avaidik. Avaidik means that they oppose to Vedic. And because the Vedic culture is in the wind, that's why the Islamism is becoming prevalent.
You see, as the Vedic culture spreads, Islamism will be destroyed.
What confuses me is that you see someone who has been very devoted even to prayer. You understand that there is very, very exact prayer time and so on. But why can't this dawning of consciousness take place within their heart?
Yeah, Prabhupada is saying that a person who, without knowing God, claims to be a spiritual master is a cheater. And those who follow him are cheaters, are the cheaters. So they may be sincere, but because they're following a cheater, they're cheaters. So, you know, it's unfortunate. They're very sincere. Like the mafias, they're very sincere. They're very dedicated to their leaders. They would give their lives for them. But does it mean that the mafia is on a spiritual path? Similarly, they're sort of mafia. They follow their leaders, but the thing is that the leaders are misleading. Krishna will take care of it. Krishna consciousness movement will spread, so they will be there. Well, I mean, there is some, you know, Jesus is teaching that some custom. Christianity in that way is quite bona fide. Islamism, comparatively it may have been, like, you know, compared to what the desert people were, and after Muhammad came and preached to them, maybe that was, you know, a certain degree of spiritual upliftment for them. But the way it stands today is not at all. There are four bona fide sampradayas, Brahma, Rudra, Sri and Kumar. But in the age of Kali they are also pretty much lost. Some sincere followers are there, like obviously these four sampradayas are bona fide. So they must be continuing the line. But actually in the age of Kali, most of the sampradayas are affected. Even Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's movement was so much affected by Kali. But Bhaktivinoda Thakur started the Vibhasa. And it has become considerably revived by Srila Prabhupada. It's because of Prabhupada that Mahaprabhu's mission of Gaudiya Sampradaya is thriving today. Had Prabhupada not been there, Gaudiya Sampradaya... I mean, we can see, like, although Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur spread Krishna consciousness so effectively all over India,
I mean, what are the other Gopi Mutts doing? Like they're just, you know, somehow maintaining some worship, little bit of preaching, that's all. The Prabhupada actually requires the Gopi Vaishnava. Had ISKCON not been there, you know, like, can you imagine Mayapur without ISKCON temple? Mayapur Chandra without Mayapur. You know, what would have been there? Just a few little, small little temples and, you know, no preaching, no spiritual, I mean, hardly any spiritual activity. Prabhupada sometimes mentioned that they were ringing the bells and having picnics. That's about the extent of their spiritual activity. They ring the bell in the during the Aratik time, and that also just a handful of them. And they cook some prasad, offer it to Krishna and take it, as if they have anything. They were very upset when you heard that. But one of Prabhupada's godbrothers actually once told me that compared to what Prabhupada is doing all over the world, even if they get a chance to ring the bell in that Sankirtan movement of Prabhupada, I mean, that would be something glorious for them. Okay, there's some prasad.